Reading from Mark, the third chapter. And he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12 to be with him, and gave him the power to be sent out, and the authority to preach the gospel, and to the authority to cast out demons. Simon, whom he surnamed Peter, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, whom he surnamed Boanerges, that is, the sons of thunder, Philip and Andrew, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus went home. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when the people bowl together in unity. Now, that may not be exactly what the psalmist says. I think he may say instead how pleasant and good it is when people live together in unity. But I slightly changed the verse in response to a famous essay by a Harvard sociologist by the name of Robert Putnam. Robert Putnam wrote a famous essay in the mid-90s noting that in 1994, 80 million people went bowling. All right, that might sound like a fairly trivial piece of information, but he noted 80 million people was more people than voted in the 1994 congressional elections. 80 million people was about a number of people who said they went to church regularly in the U.S. Putnam noted that from the 1980s on, the number of people who went bowling increased dramatically. But at the same time, the number of bowling leagues decreased dramatically. In other words, said Robert Putnam, while more people are bowling, they are bowling alone. He said, this signals something in our society that is distressing. The United States, from its inception, has always been a people who join together. But now, not only are there fewer bowling leagues, there are less people involved in the PTA, or the Kiwanis, or the Rotarians. There are less people involved in labor unions, less people involved in church. He said, while we have historically been a nation of joiners, we are rapidly becoming a nation of disjointers. We are less involved in civic organizations and in communal enterprises, and that signals a dangerous trend. We are becoming disjointed from each other. We're becoming less involved in community. Now, I think the last time I went bowling was with Melissa's youth group in Rome when we had a lock-in. And we were definitely not bowling league material. We ranged from the mediocre, like Melissa, to the really bad, like me. But we were not bowling alone. Rather, we were bowling together. It didn't matter how many gutter balls we threw. It was the style with which we did it. We were teasing each other, laughing at each other, encouraging each other. And as I sat back and watched those young people bonding together, I realized they were doing church, forging relationships, strengthening friendships. making new contacts with each other. They were becoming a family. They were doing church. They were definitely not bowling alone. We were definitely bowling together. I think Jesus would disapprove of bowling alone. And I give us evidence of that, the fact that among the first things he did in his ministry was go up on the mountain and call to him 12 people who would become his inner circle. Simon, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas. You couldn't ask for a more diverse group. Simon was so cocksure that Jesus nicknamed him Peter, Rock. James and John had such hot tempers that he called them the sons of thunder. Matthew had made his living defrauding people. Simon the Cananean was probably an insurrectionist, maybe even an assassin at one point. Thomas would doubt the resurrection. Judas would betray him. But Jesus called them unto himself that he could form an inner circle, not for the purpose of forming simply an inner circle, but that they might go out and preach the gospel and be a healing force, that they would create a larger inner circle comprised of a great horde of men and women who then went out and recruited others to the ongoing enterprise of the kingdom of God. The movement started with Jesus, but instantly he started recruiting a family to him, an ever-enlarging human family that can be the people of God to do God's will and work on earth. We as Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of each believer, that the Spirit of God has endowed each of us with the ability to make decisions of conscience for ourselves. No ecclesiastical authority can tell us how we are to believe. Our own spirit, under the leadership of God's Spirit, makes our own decisions. But, we balance that individualized call with communal participation. Every disciple received an individualized call, but having answered that call, they were called to blend their lives in with the faith of others. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. You grow in community. Even the famous individualized experiences of God in the Scripture, they have communal implications. Moses hears the call of God out of a burning bush, but it moves him to go liberate an entire community. Isaiah beholds the majesty of God in the temple, but it moves him to become a spokesman of God for the people of God in his nation. Saul, persecutor of Christianity, experiences the risen Christ on the road to Damascus and is soon enveloped within the Christian community and sent out as an apostle. Individual experiences of God have universal implications, communal implications. We are called to be a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people of God. I stand before you this morning as a representative of institutional religion. I would say I stand as representative of organized religion, but that probably would be hyperbole. I should think I might overstate the case. But I stand as a representative of institutional religion, and it is my very role to call people to set aside disjoining and become joiners, to leave individualism behind and to blend their talents, to blend their energies, to pool their resources, that we might accomplish much greater things for God together than ever we could do individually. It is my role to call people to come together, to unify their efforts to be the people of God. And I don't do that simply as a representative of this particular institution. I do it as a spokesman for the very fundamental theme of our gospel. Every encounter that Jesus has communal implications. Zacchaeus climbs down out of his tree, invites Jesus into his home, and upon giving his life to Christ, what does he say? I will bring restitution to the community I have defrauded. The Gerizim demoniac is healed by our Lord and says, I want to be a disciple. What does Jesus say? Go home. Go home to your own family. Go home to your own community. Go home to your own people and testify what God has done. Individual experiences of Christ's salvific power are meant to have communal implications. We're meant to recruit people into being a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a family of God. When normalcy returns and we have baby presentations again, how profoundly we draw that point for all of us. We enter into covenant relationships as a church, as parents, as grandparents, as the family of God to nurture that baby before us. We're saying something fundamentally important, that socialization in the family of God is crucial to our faith development. There is no true Christian growth without socialization with other Christians, nurture from other Christians. My grandson Sam, born about 3 months ago, he was more aware that there were people around him than he was of his own being. Before he realized, I am me, he realized that if I cry, if I hunger, if I thirst, if I wet, people who love me will tend to me. He was more aware of the reality of those around him than he was initially of himself. And that awareness is fundamental to his development. Famous biologist once wrote something that I've never forgotten. He said, a chimpanzee is not a chimpanzee. A chimpanzee becomes a chimpanzee through community with other chimpanzees. I realized a Christian is not a Christian in and of him or herself. We become a full Christian in community with other Christians as we participate in being a royal priesthood, a chosen race, a people of God. Now, we all know living in community is not easy. I well understand the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre when he said, "Hell is other people. Hell is other people." I'll never forget one of the people I was counseling who said to me, "Dr. Krimmer, I feel called of God to work with others, but working with others is giving me ulcers. Unity is not difficult. Sometimes, even in the scriptures, the people of God act in discordant, destructive, disgusting ways." I think of that passage in Numbers 13th chapter where God has become so frustrated, so fed up with the Hebrew people and their disobedience and their ingratitude that he says to Moses, "I am going to wipe them off the face of the earth and we're going to start over." And Moses says, "Lord, you cannot do that. We are in this together. You, me, and those people. We are in this together. Your name is attached to their fate. You are a God of chesed, of steadfast love. And your very name is tied to how you provide for them. We are all in this together." Even Jesus, who calls his 12 around him, who imparts the truth to them, who nurtures them throughout his ministry, even when he knows that one of them will betray him, even when he knows that he's on the verge of being abandoned by all of them, what does he say? On the night he is betrayed, "I have earnestly desired to eat the Passover meal with you." As he faces his life's great trial, he wants to draw strength from his community, even flawed believers as who serve him. Peter calls us to remember, we're not merely individuals. Our destiny is to be a holy priesthood, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a chosen race. We are called out of darkness into light and to call others from darkness into light. I remember years ago reading a quote from a British statesman that said, "Before I had children, I had 6 theories about children. Now I have 6 children and no theories." What that nobleman was observing is you can't know anything from the outside, only from the inside. There are people who think they know about faith as they judge it from the outside, but you can't know it from the outside. It has to be from the inside. There are people who think they know what church means, looking at it from the outside, but you can't. You can only understand what family of God means from the inside. The Bible is a book about God. But it's also a book about the people of God, striving to do the will of God, sometimes succeeding, sometimes failing. It is a picture of the family of God, warts and all. But we become a royal priesthood as we band together and blend our efforts to do God's will. I know what I'm about to say is going to surprise many of you, but I don't spend much time watching music videos. And yet, several years ago, engaged in that time-honored man tradition of channel surfing, I landed upon Katy Perry singing Roar on CNN. For this was a special video shot in a children's oncology ward. And there were these gaunt, thin, bald children singing bravely. You held me down, but I got up, already brushing off the dust. And it wasn't just those brave children singing. The video had their parents singing with them, and their nurses, and the nurses' aides, and the doctors, the whole hospital administration. They were all singing, "I have the eye of a tiger, dancing through the fire. I am a champion, and you're going to hear me roar." And as I beheld that video, I thought, yeah, this is church. This is what church is meant to be. Those children weren't singing, "I am a champion," on their own. They were singing because they were surrounded by a healing community. Their lives depended upon a healing community dedicated to using what skills they had to bring them back to wholeness and health. That's church. We're meant to be a healing community that heals each other and seeks to heal our world, not by our own individual strength, but by blending our faith together as the people of God. And when we fulfill that mission, then we truly make manifest the psalmist's observation: how good and pleasant it is for people to live together in unity. May we pray together. God of grace and strength, you are the nucleus of our being. But you have called us all to join to you, to join to each other, to blend our gifts, to merge our talents for your glory and your service. May we heed that call and truly be a royal priesthood, a chosen race, and a people of God. In the name of the Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit